In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here we are looking at Lesson 47, My Catholic Faith. The picture we see our Lord, and I guess that is St. Peter on his knees there, surrounded by the disciples or apostles. The caption reads, "From among his disciples, our Lord chose 12 apostles and gave them special training. He sent them forth to teach his doctrine, saying, 'As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' The apostles were the foundation of the true church. Christ gave them all power and authority, saying, 'He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me.'" This is the 9th article of the Apostles' Creed, the foundation of the church. Did Jesus Christ found a church? Yes. All history, religious and non-religious, including the Bible, clearly proves that Jesus Christ founded a church. After teaching publicly what he required all to believe and practice, thereby announcing the main doctrines of his church, Christ gathered a number of disciples. From them he chose 12, to whom he gave special instruction and training. The term, a kingdom, by which our Lord used to refer to his church, implies organized authority, and he said to the special men he had chosen, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." He did not teach the disciples for themselves alone, but to be the foundation of his church. God did not come to save only a few disciples, but all men. Christ said to the men he had chosen, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you," bidding them go and preach the doctrines he had taught. He sent them to all nations, promising salvation to those that should believe, and threatening condemnation to those refusing to believe. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. God is just. He would not have threatened condemnation to unbelievers unless he had furnished the means whereby they could believe. His church is the means. All men must join it. Not only did the men chosen by Christ have authority, he gave them extraordinary powers, particularly the 12 special men, the apostles. Then, having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every kind of disease and infirmity, from St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. They had power to sanctify when Christ bade them, quote, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," from St. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. They had power to forgive sin when Christ said to them, quote, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them," from St. John chapter 20, verse 23. They had ruling power when Christ said, quote, "He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects him who sent me." And where, from St. Luke chapter 10, verse 16, "And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven," from St. Matthew 18, verse 18. They had power to offer sacrifice when the Last Supper Christ, after instituting the Eucharist, bade them, quote, "Do this in remembrance of me," from 1 Corinthians 11, 24, 25. After training the disciples and apostles to form the organization of his church, Christ chose Simon Peter and made him the chief. Simon, whose name Christ changed to Peter, was the head of the church. On Simon Christ promised to build his church, saying, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. From St. Matthew 16:18. After the resurrection, he fulfilled his promise, commanding Peter, quote, Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. From St. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Finally, he promised to remain for all time with the church he established. If the death of our Lord were to do good only to a few persons then living in Judea, its merits would have been very limited. But it could do good to future generations only if there were an organization with authority to carry on his teachings and preserve them from all change. This is his church. Why did Jesus Christ found the church? Jesus Christ founded the church to bring all men to eternal salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ established the church in order to lead men to heaven by continuing his teaching and example, and by applying the fruits of his sacrifice on the cross to all men until the end of the world. Our Lord gave to the church a threefold office, the office of teacher, the office of priest or sanctifier, and the office of pastor or ruler. By these offices, Christ intended his church to accomplish the purpose for which he founded it. We generally consider the first Pentecost Sunday as the formal foundation of the church. On that day, the Holy Ghost began to dwell in the church when he came down upon the apostles in the form of tongues of fire. The first members since our Lord's ascension were converted and baptized. There were about 3,000 received after Peter's first sermon. Was the church founded by Christ a visible organization? The church founded by Christ was a visible organization with certain distinguishing marks. No one can deny that Jesus Christ gathered disciples and out of them chose 12 apostles to whom he gave special instruction and orders. He formed them as the foundation of his organization. Was this not visible? Speaking of a stubborn man, he said, If he refuse to hear even the church, let him be to thee as the heathen. From St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. And he promised his disciples, quote, Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed also in heaven. From St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Surely something must be visible to bind and loose, to be heard and obeyed. And Christ referred to this visible organization as a city set on a mountain that cannot be hidden. From St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. From the very beginning, the apostles exercised their authority and powers. These were signs of a very visible organization. They did not advise, they directed as superiors and decided as judges. Thus, St. Paul excommunicated the sinful Corinthian, and he commanded the Hebrews, Obey your superiors and be subject to them. From Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The apostles and fathers condemn schism, or schism. This fact implies a visible organization, for how can there be a schism against an invisible body? St. Paul urged the Corinthians, By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there be no dissensions among you. From the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And St. Cyprian, in the 3rd century, wrote, Whoever is separated from the church is separated from the promises of Christ. One cannot have God as a father who has not the church as his mother. That concludes what is written for Lesson 47, My Catholic Faith. I just have perhaps a couple comments. First of all, it says that Christ made, I don't know exactly where it is, but made St. Peter the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. St. Peter was his vicar, his representative. I know that we use these terms very loosely, but more and more it becomes necessary for us to make precise distinctions here, that Christ is the head of the church. He is vicar or his representative on earth would go to St. Peter, the chief of the apostles. Something else I wanted to comment on, but I can't think of it now here. All the institution of the sacrifice of the Mass, very often we see that people place that at the Last Supper, and I think too often we confuse the Last Supper with the sacrifice of the Mass or the Holy Eucharist. And if you'll look in your missal there, every Mass, it says after they had eaten, he took bread and blessed it. Right, so the meal was finished. These are two distinct things. And I know traditionally we say, at the Last Supper, Christ instituted the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, or he instituted the Holy Eucharist. But we must not equate the Holy Eucharist with the Mass, or with the Holy Eucharist with the Last Supper. I know the modernist Protestant ideology, they want to equate the Last Supper with the sacrifice of the Mass or with the Holy Eucharist. They did not gather to eat the Holy Eucharist. They gathered there for the Last Supper, and now after they had finished that, Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist and made them priests and commanded them to continue to offer this sacrifice. Not to continue the Last Supper, because if it continues, it's not the Last Supper, because there's more than one. What they are commanded to do in memory of Christ or in remembrance of him is the sacrifice of the Mass. And so on Holy Thursday there, the night before he died, he instituted this, and this is his body which is sacrificed on the cross, and it is the same body that is offered during Mass and that we can receive in Holy Communion. And this offering is a sacrifice that is offered to God. It is one and the same sacrifice. And so I think we need perhaps to be a little more precise than we find it here in this text. I'm not going to say the text is outright wrong, because we didn't have these errors creeping in so easily. And English is very loose in our understanding and translation, and what we mean today, often you use the same words later, a couple years later, and they mean something completely different. So we need to perhaps reevaluate our choice of words and to be a little more precise in how we use words in the English language, especially when it concerns matters of faith. Okay, do we have any questions? And we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.